Gentle Temperaments. The Lord's Round was an awe-inspiring space, all marble and gilding and friezes of noble forebears. Heart of the Union and all that, light streaming from the stained-glass windows through the echoing vastness to splash the tiled floor where the great noblemen of the past once set the course of the future. But all Leo saw were the steps down through the empty banks of seating. Before his duel and the damn leg wound, he'd never noticed how many steps there were in the world. He'd sprung up them three at a time and gone blithely on his way. No more. They were everywhere. And down was worse than up. That was the thing people never realized. Going up, you couldn't fall that far. He took the usual moment to curse the circle, swords, and Stour Nightfall, then set off slightly sideways, grumbling with each lurching stride. Leo! Isher ignored the offered hand at the bottom of the steps and instead folded him in a hug. Wonderful to see you again! A bit overfamiliar, given they'd spoken no more than three times, but better too friendly than the opposite. Congratulations on your forthcoming marriage! Leo winced at a twinge in his leg as he broke free. Haven't seen my mother this excited in years. He turned slowly around, looking up towards the gilded dome high, high above. Doubt you could find a grander venue. Nor a bride with a better pedigree. Isher stroked at the air as though they were discussing a racehorse. Isolde Dancasper, do you know her? Don't think I've had the pleasure. Excellent blood. Good old Middleland stock. Wonderfully gentle temperament. Wonderful, said Leo without much joy. To him, a woman with a gentle temperament was like a sword without an edge. Isher frowned down at Leo's cane. How's your leg? Fine. Along with the constant pain was the constant need to pretend you weren't in pain at all, as though the worst thing about your agony was that it might put other people out. Sword wounds can take some time to heal. Ah, yes, sword wounds. As though Isher knew a damn thing about swords or wounds. He leaned close. Things have not been going well since your last visit. No? I hate to be unpatriotic, he murmured as if he could hardly wait, but King Orso proves to be every bit the empty vessel we were expecting. There's nothing unpatriotic about the truth, muttered Leo, wondering whether there might be. He offers not the slightest check to old Styx and the rest of those withered bastards on the closed council. It's all liars and swindlers in the White Chamber.
Always has been, muttered Leo, wondering if it had been.
They're set on limiting the powers of the Open Council, stripping us of ancient rights, clawing land back to the crown, taxing us to the bloody balls.
Huh, grunted Leo. I feel your pain there. Anglands being squeezed hardest of all.
And if anyone's earned some clemency, it's you, who held back the savages alone, with no help from the crown. We fought the King's War. We won the King's War. We paid for the fucking...
Leo brought his voice back down, with some difficulty. King's War. And what did we get back?
He slapped angrily at the lion-head pommel of the commemorative sword he'd so proudly accepted from King Giselle last year.
One sword, and it's not even properly bloody balanced.
There's a scandal.
It is a scandal.
Leo wondered whether he was saying too much, but couldn't help himself.
A breach of the contract between the crown and the provinces. There are folk back home asking if we're subject or livestock.
Durand had told him to be careful what he said in Adua, but Durand was a long way away, sadly, and the truth was the truth.
There are folk on the verge of bloody rebellion, he hissed, grinding the end of his cane into the tiles.
A bloody scandal, lamented Isher. Still, nothing compared to what they're doing to poor Fedor Dan Wetterland.
Who?
You never met?
Don't think I've had the pleasure.
One of us, Wetterland. Seat on the Open Council, estates down near Kelne. Good old Middleland stock, you know.
Gentle temperament?
Little wild, truth be told, but we've known each other for years. I believe he's a fourth cousin of mine or some such. Once removed, maybe? Never really understood how all that once removed stuff works.
Who does? The charges are trumped up, without a doubt. Some ruse of old Sticks. I hear he's confessed, but no doubt it's under torture.
They tortured a member of the Open Council. Leo could scarcely believe it. I didn't think Orso was the type.
I'm telling you, the man's a cipher. He has no idea what's done in his name and wouldn't do a thing about it if he did. They've got Wetterlant locked up in the bowels of the House of Questions, away from friends, away from family, not even a window. His poor mother is beside herself, cousin of a cousin as well. It's taken quite the toll.
By the dead, murmured Leo, then realised it was a northern saying and meant nothing here.
He's appealed for the King's justice. Anyone with a seat on the Open Council has the right to a trial here with His Majesty as the judge, but, well, I doubt there's any justice to be had in the Union these days.
By the dead! I mean, bloody hell!
Even members of the old families, even members of the Open Council, even patriots like you or I aren't safe. It hardly feels like our country anymore.
Leo rubbed at his thigh, the simmering pain a spur to his simmering anger.
Someone should do something, he growled.
Someone should.
Isher nodded sadly.
But who has the courage?
Leo tried not to limp as he walked back down the Kingsway, past the statues of the great men of history. Kings loomed on one side, real kings, Harold the Great, Arnold the Just, Casimir the Steadfast. Great figures from their reigns loomed a little lower on the other. Leo wondered if a statue of him would stand here one day, holding sword and shield in recognition of great victories, gazing sternly across the roadway to a taller and more impressive statue of King Orso. That thought hardly filled him with joy. He was paying for his glories with every step and didn't fancy sharing with a man he was losing all respect for. Crown Prince Orso had struck him as a good enough sort, but the throne only amplifies a man's bad qualities, and his closed council were the same corrupt old worms who'd driven King Jazal's reign into the ditch. What the Union needed was men of courage, men of passion, men of action. Men like him. The quarters he and his mother had been given were high up, blessed with views, but cursed with steps. When he finally got to the top, his leg was on fire. He had to pause to settle his breath, mop away sweat, and force his grimace into a carefree smile. He told himself he didn't want his mother to worry. In truth, he didn't want to prove her right.
"How was your meeting with Lord Isher?" she asked as he strode in.
"Well enough. He'd a bastard of a story about this poor fellow Wetterlant. There's a rot in the Agrient, but no one's got the courage to..."
There was someone behind him. A woman, perhaps a few years older than his mother, but still rather handsome, a lopsided smile on her lips, as if she knew secrets he didn't.
"This is Lady Ardy Danglocter."
"Oh!"
By the dead, he saw the resemblance to her daughter now. That direct, searching, slightly mocking look was just the same. He was blushing to the roots of his hair.
"Wonderful to meet you, of course."
"The wonder is all mine, Your Grace. A genuine hero, adorned with the scars of great deeds. Will you catch me if I faint?"
"Well, I'll do my best."
"I understand you know my daughter, Savine."
At that moment, it seemed more likely he'd faint than she would.
"We've met. Just the once."
The same number of times they'd fucked. Might have been better not to think of that, but now he couldn't stop.
"When I was last in Adua, 4 months ago, was it? She struck me as a very attractive..."
Terrible choice of word.
"I mean, formidable woman."
"Please, you're embarrassing me, and certainly yourself."
Lady Ardy laid a familiar hand on his arm. Everyone in Adua was too familiar.
I'm sorry to put you in a corner, but I know the two of you were intimate. She nodded towards Leo's mother. We both do.
You do?
Oh. Damn, he sounded lame. He was a Lord Governor, wasn't he? Not some stuttering schoolboy.
I assure you I didn't take advantage of her in any sense.
Lady Ardy laughed.
The man isn't made who could take advantage of my daughter. I've no doubt it was quite the other way around.
What? He wasn't sure whether that was better or worse. Only that he wanted this conversation to end, but his mother had blocked the doorway. There was no escape.
You know how much I love you, Leo, she said. You're a wonderful leader, brave, honest, loyal to a fault. I could not be more proud. I have the young lion for a son.
Raw, said Lady Ardy, grinning at him sidelong. But lions are not suited to administration. I know you want to do it all, but the last few months have proved to us both that you cannot govern Angland on your own.
You are the head of a great family, said Lady Ardy, and great families must be sustained. You may want to do it all, but I very much doubt you'll be bearing any heirs yourself. You need a wife.
He struggled to put the parts of this conversation together, but could only see one way to do it.
You want me to marry your daughter?
The whole thing had an air of unreality.
Why ever not? She's a beautiful, wealthy, refined, intelligent, impeccably connected, and widely admired lady of taste.
Leo's mother nodded along.
I was most impressed with her.
You've met her? Asked Leo.
I feel a bit ambushed.
A famous warrior? Ambushed by two mothers?
Two grandmothers, muttered Lady Ardy for some reason.
Can you honestly deny anything we've said?
Leo swallowed. Well, I won't deny I'm not suited to administration. I don't deny I need help. I can't deny Savine's beautiful, tasteful, refined, and all the rest of it. I mean, she's...
He thought back to that night, and not for the first time.
A hell of a woman.
It would be folly to deny that, said Lady Ardy, tossing her head.
And no one can deny a man needs a wife, especially a Lord Governor. It's just...
Both of them were giving him a slightly pitying smile, as though waiting for a moron to comprehend the obvious.
Anyone'd think you've booked the date and invited the bloody guests.
Lady Ardy and Lady Finry exchanged a loaded glance. Leo felt the cold shock creeping further up his throat.
You've booked the date and invited the guests.
Lord Isher has kindly agreed to make his grand event a double wedding, said Lady Ardy.
Kindly agreed to bask in your reflected glory, murmured Leo's mother.
Squeaked Leo.
That's next week!
You are no longer a carefree young man. You are a great lord of the realm. When did you expect to marry?
Not next bloody week!
We realise it's a lot to take in, said Lady Ardy, but delay serves nobody's interests, regardless of who took advantage of whom. You have placed my daughter in a difficult position.
She is pregnant. Chimed in his mother.
With your bastard. Leo opened his mouth, but only a choked-off gurgle came out.
But how?
Lady Ardy rolled her eyes.
I'd hoped you'd be versed in the basics, but if we must...
Have you ever noticed that girls and boys have different things between their legs?
I know where babies come from.
Then you appreciate the responsibilities that emerge with them. Lady Ardy took a nip from a flask she'd produced as if by magic, then offered it around.
Drink? Reckon I'd better,
he said numbly, taking a little swig. It proved to be a very good brandy. He stared off hopelessly into the corner as its warmth spread down his throat. He'd known real adulthood was advancing on him, but he'd assumed it was still some way off.
Now it had fallen from a great height and squashed him flat.
Can I at least ask her myself?
Of course. His mother stepped aside and gestured towards the tall windows.
Wait.
Leo felt a new stab of nerves.
She's here?
On the terrace, said Lady Ardy, waiting for your proposal.
I don't even have a...
His mother was holding a ring out, blue stone glinting in the sunlight.
The one your father gave me.
She took his wrist, turned his hand over, and dropped it into his palm, while Lady Ardy nudged the window open with her boot heel, a cool breeze washing in from the terrace and stirring the curtains. Leo's only options were a courageous advance or to run screaming from the room, and with the state of his leg, he doubted he could outrun his mother. He closed his fist tight around the ring, drained the flask, and handed it to Lady Ardy.
My thanks. My honour.
She plucked a speck of dust from his jacket and gave his chest an approving pat.
We'll be here if you get into trouble.
What a comfort, he murmured as he stepped out into the sunlight.
Savine stood at the parapet, the aggrient spread out below her as if she owned it. Somehow he'd expected her to have turned matronly, rosy-cheeked, bloated out with child. But she was every bit as sleek and dignified as the day they met. Not rattled by the long drop beyond the short parapet at her back, or their whirlwind courtship, or her delicate condition. Apparently impossible to rattle at all. His first thought was what a portrait they'd make together. She sank into a curtsy with a rustling of skirts, very formal, very clean, except perhaps for the slightest playful smirk at the corner of her mouth.
Your Grace?
He'd thought about her often since that night in the writer's office, but somehow it didn't prepare him for seeing her again in the flesh.
Call me Leo, he said in the end. I think we're past titles.
She put a hand on her stomach.
Well, Leo, we have made a child together.
It wasn't funny, on the face of it, but he had to smile. The polish of an empress with the candour of a sergeant-at-arms.
So our mothers tell me. They make quite the pair, don't they? As complimentary as a long and a short steel. And just as deadly.
He put his fists on the lichen-spotted stonework beside her, the ring digging at his palm.
Was he really going to do this? Could he possibly do this?
The whole thing felt like a dream, but far from a nightmare.
I can only apologize for the ambush, she said, turning to look at the view.
The statues standing proud on either side of the Kingsway, the wide expanse of the Square of Marshals, the glinting dome of the Lord's Round.
If it's any consolation, they did the same to me. I was somewhat surprised at first. So was I, I'll admit.
Her eyes came to rest on his, her chin raised in a challenge, which he found for some reason deeply attractive. He thought of what his friends would say when he presented a famous beauty as his wife. That had wiped the smile from Antalb's face.
I enjoyed our moment together a great deal.
So did I.
He had to clear his throat at the roughness in his voice.
I'll admit.
But I had thought that would be all it was, a moment.
So had I.
Leo found himself smiling.
I'll admit.
He'd expected this to be a painful duty, but he was starting to enjoy it. It had the feel of a dance, a ritual, a duel.
Does my father worry you?
His eyes widened. It hadn't even occurred to him that he was getting old sticks for a father-in-law. It occurred to him now, the way the slaughterman occurs to the pig. The most feared man in the Union, a master torturer with an army of practicals, an enemy of all Leo stood for.
I get the sense he doesn't like me very much.
He doesn't like anyone.
But I get the sense I don't like him very much.
That would be terrible.
if you were planning to marry him.
She raised one brow.
Are you planning to marry him? I don't think your mother would like it. My father doesn't own me, not even a percentage. If we marry, my loyalty will be to you. But you should know I am my own woman and do things my own way. I do not plan for that to change.
Wouldn't want it to. He admired her spirit, so independent, so determined, so fierce even. Isha might like a gentle temperament, but Leo couldn't think of anything worse.
It might help if you look at it as a business arrangement.
Is that how you're looking at it?
Force of habit. And it does make excellent sense. A partnership between your title and my wealth, between your fame and my connections, between your leadership and my management.
Put that way, it did make excellent sense.
He enjoyed listening to her talk, so sharp, so confident, so commanding even. He liked a woman who could take charge. He imagined the admiration when she spoke on his behalf.
I can share the burden, she said. Take the politics and the paperwork off your hands. You can focus on the military aspects, the things you enjoy. No more dusty meetings.
He thought of that stuffy room, those tottering heaps of papers, those endless grumbles with Mustard and Clencher and the rest.
Doubt I'll miss them.
She didn't seem to take anything so tasteless as steps, but still she drifted closer. He enjoyed watching her move. So graceful, so precise, so regal even. He liked a woman with pride, and Savine dripped with it. With her on his arm, he'd be the envy of the world.
Look at it as a political alliance, she said. You are popular. You are celebrated. You are loved. In Middleland, in Angland, in the North even. But you do not know Adua.
She was looking at his mouth as she came closer, looking at it in a way he very much enjoyed.
It's true, he murmured. I'm a lost little lamb here.
Let me be your shepherdess. I can help you get your way. By the dead, she was close now. With the closed council, with my father, with the great men of the realm.
He could smell her, that sweetness, that heady sharpness.
I know everyone worth knowing, and how to use them.
Her scent brought all the excitement of that night rushing back. He found he had held up his open palm, blue stone on the ring twinkling in the sun.
My mother gave me this.
It's beautiful, said Savine softly.
Best I could do on the way from the room to the terrace. Anyway.
Ah! To his surprise, but by no means disappointment, her hand was between his legs.
Already halfway hard, and it took no time for her to get him the rest of the way. It only made it more exciting that they were in full view of half the Agrient, with their mothers not 10 paces distant.
Look at it,
she whispered urgently in his ear, her breath tickling his cheek.
As a business arrangement and a political alliance that makes superb sense.
She kissed him ever so gently while her hand worked less than gently down below.
Then anything we can get from it on a personal level.
She bit his lip, pulled it, and let it flap back.
Let's call it a bonus.
Let's.
He caught Savine's free hand and slid his mother's ring onto her finger. It proved too tight to go over the knuckle, but he didn't care a shit. He caught her in his arms and kissed her, the Agrient spread out below them.
To anyone watching, they must have looked truly spectacular.